The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So today we celebrate the life, the birth, the life, the teaching, and actually the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. But especially we celebrate his birth. So we have all these flowers all over the place because it's said that he was born in a garden, Lumbini Garden, full of beautiful flowers. So we have all these flowers to kind of celebrate that. The baby Buddha. It's bathing the baby Buddha. This is done all over the world when people celebrate Vaisak, birth of the Buddha, life of the Buddha. Just about everywhere, they do this bathing of the little Buddha body. And nearly always, you see him like this, with one hand up and one hand down, pointing to heaven and earth. And we bathe him with traditionally sweet tea. We use water. We thought tea might be a bit, sweet tea might get a bit sticky. But some people do that. It's fine. You know, maybe it's not strong tea like I like it. Because this is, we're welcoming him. Because the legend says that the heavens opened and poured forth sweet tea or sweet water to bathe the baby, the new baby Buddha. The legend is, you know, it's a little sort of hard to believe in a practical sense that he is born from the right side of Queen Mahamaya, and there he is. He stands up and he takes seven steps and points to heaven and earth and says, "I am the only honored one in all in heaven and earth." You think, okay. But actually, we're not meant to take this literally, I don't think. If you want to take it literally, it's fine. But it actually has there's a meaning there. And we don't have to believe it literally. We don't have to believe any of it literally. We find out things for ourselves. The seven steps, they represent the Buddha's going through the six worlds of rebirth. Heavens, hells, humans, animals, hungry ghosts, fighting spirits. Those six worlds with which you're all familiar. Six steps for those six worlds, and the seventh step that goes beyond them into nirvana. That's his seventh step. That's how I heard it explained, which it makes sense. I'm sure there's all kinds of other explanations of the seven steps. But I think it's rather nice. He goes beyond the six worlds and steps out into the unknown, that seventh step that we don't know yet. And as I said, he takes these steps and he says, "In heaven and on earth, I'm the only honored one." Now, if you thought he meant himself, it would sound a little bit prideful. "I'm the only honored one." But it's not meant that way. It's Buddha nature is that which is most revered. Buddha nature, which is in within all beings or within which we all dwell, is the only honored one. It's not this little guy himself. He's just representing that for us because he's showing us the way to that. So don't be put off when his first words are, "In heaven and on earth, I'm the only honored one." You know, it's not the way it sounds. The baby Buddha, always, as I said, shown standing like this, one hand pointing to heaven, one pointing to earth. He unites heaven and earth. He comes between heaven and earth. He brings it all together, points to all of it. We are human beings. We dwell somewhere between heaven and earth. It says we're somewhere between the gods and the animals. We have divine nature. We have our kindness, sympathy, wisdom, generosity. We also have our greed and fear and anger and delusion. We have our animal nature, that greedy, selfish side of us that wants to survive. And we have our more divine nature. However, Buddha nature encompasses all of this. It's not just the nice part. Buddha nature encompasses all of it. Our animal nature is a certain, there's an innocence in that. That simple wanting or fear. There's a purity about it. And there's an innocence about it. It can do a lot of harm, but it's not of itself evil. It's just that we need to convert it. We need to do something wise with it. You don't get rid of it. You don't get rid of our dark sides, as it were. We convert it. The Buddha's bringing it all together. We embrace all of it. He's not excluding any of it. So we're born into this human world with all the things of this human world, and we try to do our very best with it. Our life is made up of both light and darkness, joy and sorrow, sickness and health, all these opposites. It's never completely wonderful and bright, and it's never completely awful. There's always something we can be grateful for, just about always. Maybe for some people it's pretty hard to see because it's pretty difficult. And people are in just hideous situations we can't even imagine. And yet all of it is within that which embraces everything, the great unseen. Confidence, despair, happiness, sorrow, gain and loss, losing people we love, finding love elsewhere. All these different things make up our lives, and all of them are embraced within this little Buddha body, bringing it all together. Not rejecting the things we don't like, accepting all of it. Not just taking the bits that we want and not looking at the dark side. I don't want to see that, I don't like that. I just want the nice stuff. It doesn't work. We need to look at all of it, accept all of it. Today is a joyous day, but we may not all be happy. Some of us may be feeling kind of sad. You don't have to feel perfectly happy because it's a festive day. People get miserable at Christmas and any other time of the year, it would seem. Because they feel like they're supposed to be all happy, and maybe they're not. You know. Even at the birth of the Buddha, it wasn't all happy. The queen, Mahamaya, she died 6-7 days later. That must have been pretty tough for the poor old king and the family. And he had all kinds of trouble with, you know, when the Gotama, as he was then, wants to go off and renounce the world, leave behind his family and find the truth. It was pretty tough for the old king. You know, who's going to take over the kingdom? There's always the first noble truth. There's always suffering. And yet the Buddha points the way to go beyond that, not just looking for the good things, but embracing everything and accepting all of it. Today we bathe the baby Buddha. As I said, this is done all over the world. People bathe the baby Buddha to welcome him. And we're also bathing ourselves because we're also baby Buddhas, Buddhas in training. We're bathing our own light and darkness, bathing our own difficulties, our own parts we like, the parts we don't like, washing those sharp places in ourselves, softening the sharp places. Water is a very softening thing. The water of compassion, which softens everything. We're doing that. We're bathing those sharp, difficult places in ourselves, in our relationships, in our lives. Old hurts and resentments, old angers that we've held on to, we can wash those and let them gradually dissolve. They may not all go at once, but we can gradually wash them. You don't wash just once, you have to keep doing it. Just keep on bathing, keep on washing, allowing things to soften and wash away, not clinging onto them, but just letting them be washed away, washed through gradually. Forgiveness of people who've harmed us. Gradually using that water to wash that resentment. Grief and sorrow, the people who've left us, the things that we've lost, the people we've lost. To bathe that, all the sadnesses of our lives. Not pretending they're not there. I don't need that person, I'm okay. But I'm sad, I'm sorry, I miss this person. I miss the people who've died, left, whatever. Just to be able to accept it with kindness and let it be washed, not turning away. Remorse and repentance for things we've done in the past. Not to keep on going over and over them, stabbing ourselves with the knife of regret, but it's okay, I can let it go. It's made me what I am now. It's helped me to be here, able to hear the truth of Buddhism. Maybe if we hadn't made mistakes in our past, we might have missed something that we actually find very valuable. Who knows how things would have turned out if we hadn't done some of those really dumb things we did. You just never know. It can really, you just don't know. But to bathe those things, not to keep going over them, but to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we've made, harder than to forgive another person. Forgiving ourselves for our past seeming mistakes. But as I said, you never know. You just don't know how it would have been. But we can change. We can learn from those mistakes and do better now. Pouring that water of forgiveness, acceptance, kindness, judgment of ourselves and others, to wash that with this water of compassion, judging other beings, judging ourselves, that crabby little critical sharp mind, just wash that there, mind. Let it soften. Let it be bathed over and over and over and over and over and over again. For some of us, over and over again, there it is again, little sharp claws sticking out once again, little thorns. Wash it again and again and again. It's never completely done. Just keep on doing it. Accepting those things. The mind that judges, that cuts things up, that cuts people up. I like this part of them, but I really don't like that part. Or I don't like them at all. And I like these people, I don't like those people. You know, that little mind, I think we all have it. To keep simply washing all of it, letting it all be bathed with that water of kindness, compassion, acceptance. Sometimes easier said than done. You say, oh yes, it's great, but sometimes when it's there, the little mind all sharp and crabby, to remember, just let compassion come through. Meditation, the wonderful way of washing, sitting still with all the things that afflict us, all our judgments, hurts, feelings of suffering, all the things, all our particular ways of creating suffering for ourselves. They can all be washed with that water of compassion as we sit in meditation or just go about our life or pour water over the baby Buddha today. We can keep on coming back to that stillness and letting these things just wash through, letting the hurts and past things, fear of the future, letting it all just wash through, not holding on to it as best we can. Just come back. Oh, what am I doing? Just come back, sit still, let it wash through. You don't have to do something special. Just let it be washed. In a sense, it's not us doing the washing. We just pour the water. The water does the washing. We're just the vehicle for that. The meditation cleanses us. We just sit there and allow it to take place. In a way, it's not we are doing the meditation, it's doing us. We don't really know how it works. We just put ourselves there and allow it to help us. Not judging, as best we can, not judging, narrowing down things by saying, oh, I'm not good at this, I can't do this, oh, I'm so terrible, oh, I'm an awful person, or everybody else is awful. But just opening up and allowing that water to wash everybody and everything. Just opening up and letting it all be washed. Sometimes we talk about seeing the Buddha nature in somebody, seeing the Buddha nature in other people. I think sometimes we mistake this for seeing their good qualities. Now, it's really good to see good qualities in somebody, especially if we don't like them very much. We can sort of think, well, there's good things about this person. I may not like that aspect, but there's some really good things. Well, this is fine. But this is not quite the same as seeing the Buddha nature, I don't think. Because otherwise you're saying, this is Buddha nature, there's good stuff. But what stuff I don't like, that's not Buddha nature. And you've got duality, you've got the good and the bad. Because I think Buddha nature encompasses all of it. The light and the dark, the good and the bad, the acceptable and the seemingly unacceptable. It all is part of the whole thing. Nothing excluded. Our little Buddha, pointing up and down, He's not saying, I only want that stuff. I don't like any of that. He's embracing all of it, bringing all of it together. And we can do this too. I think it's more to, I think it more as seeing that we are all part of Buddha nature, where all beings are within Buddha nature. It's not the Buddha nature within beings, it's beings within Buddha nature. Maybe it's probably both, of course. But I find it helpful to consider all of us, warts and all, are within Buddha nature, not just a little Buddha nature within a person. It's there somewhere, I just can't quite see it, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. I think it's bigger than that. Just a thought. All our faults, shortcomings, generosity, kindness, the bits we don't like, the bits we do like, we are all part of Buddha nature. Whatever that is, in a sense, what is that? It's hard to, you can't pin it down. You know, just, it's not this, it's not that, it's not the other thing. But it's something that we have a sense of, that we know within ourselves is there, is here. We are all part of it. None of us separate. We are all within that ocean of Buddha nature, as they say. The people who do horrible things are part of Buddha nature. The people who don't think the way we do are part of Buddha nature. The people who do wonderful things are part of Buddha nature. There's the ordinary people just trying to live their life and get through the day and, you know, have a beer on that, you know, and watch the football game, are part of Buddha nature. All beings are part of Buddha nature. Nothing wrong with drinking beer and watching a football game, by the way. It's just the ordinary life of people. And both the seemingly awful things, the seemingly good things, and the seemingly mundane things. We're all part of the same thing. Offering merit to all beings. The Metta Sutra, where it talks about may all beings be free from suffering. It doesn't say just the nice beings or the worthy beings. All beings, short or tall, far or near, all beings, all, may all be happy, may all be free from suffering, loving kindness extending throughout all directions, north, south, east, west, up, down, all the 10 directions, and more. Everything permeated with loving kindness, everything permeated with that water of compassion as we bathe the baby Buddha. We can think of these things. The Buddha points the way beyond the opposites of good and bad, right and wrong. His first 6 steps, as I said, taken in the 6 worlds of our experience. We all know these worlds. World of humans, animals, heavens, hells, greedy spirits, hungry ghosts, angry fighting spirits. We all know these things. And then he takes that 7th step beyond them. The step into true wisdom that we may not see yet. He sees what we don't yet see. We're not there yet. That which accepts everything that we find hard to accept from a different point of view, something much deeper than our little views of right and wrong and good and bad and what I like and what I don't like. Something that is much deeper than that, and yet we have a sense of it. It's not beyond us. It's not impossible for us. We're just not there yet. We're not there on our 7th step yet. Some of us feel like we better got to step 1, you know. But we're all on the way. We're all on the path. We're taking our steps. We're walking forward in faith, because the whole thing is an aspect, is a practice of faith. As we bathe the baby Buddha, as we do our training, as we sit in meditation, as we do our best to relinquish clinging on to that little sharp, crabby mind or the things that have hurt us, all those sufferings, and to sit still in faith that it all does get washed. It all does get resolved. All things are resolved within the unborn, as Great Master Bhanke says. That says it all there. All things are resolved within the unborn. It's hard to fathom, and yet it's so. And something in us knows that it is so. True wisdom, deep compassion. We all follow in the footsteps of the Buddha. We all keep walking on forward. Maybe we all take that seventh step and realize it for ourselves. Thank you.